President Donald Trump is on his way to Brussels to attend a NATO summit this morning, but it's not shaping up to be a routine meeting of allies.
Trump famously called the alliance obsolete during the 2016 election and has recently been hammering on European allies to pay more for defense spending. NATO, of course, was founded in the Cold War era as an alliance of 29 countries to work as a military counterbalance to Russia. But just after the summit meeting this week, President Trump will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin. All of this could mean the president is in for a chilly reception in Brussels. And to give us a preview of what we can expect, I got a hold of Stephen Flanagan, senior political scientist at the RAND Corporation. He served for several U.S. presidents, and I started by asking him to set the stage for us. What is the goal of summits like these under normal circumstances?
Lauren, normally these summits are held to ratify lots of work that's been done in advance by ministers and other elements of the NATO command structure, and that is indeed the case of what's going to happen here. There was a mini summit held last year with President Trump in Brussels, but the last two major ones were held in 2014 and 2016, and both of those responded to the new challenges posed by Russia's aggression. Mm-hmm. and undertook a number of initiatives to enhance deterrence and defense.
And we'll talk more about Russia in a moment. But I want to talk first about the pressure that the president is putting on European allies to pay more for defense. How will that play into how this, you know, normally goes and how it might go differently this time?
Yes, well, President Trump has certainly ramped up the rhetoric. He also, as you've probably seen the report, sent a stern warning letter in advance of this, which is a little bit unusual. Normally, these things are done in a more quiet, diplomatic way. But this is not a new theme for U.S. presidents. I've worked for two other presidents. The last four presidents have all been quite forceful over the last 20 years in urging Europeans to do more for their defense. Secretary Gates had a very pointed speech in 2011, his farewell address in Brussels to a lot of Europeans, telling them that it was time that they stepped up and did more. And they have been doing more. And in fact, that is one of the good news stories. And it's been, I think, really a bipartisan success because it began in 2014 when the allies also then responding to the fact that there were new threats that they agreed needed to be addressed. And they began to pick up their defense spending beginning in 2014, mm-hmm. as did the U.S., to counter and be prepared to defend against further Russian aggression if it extended beyond Ukraine and against actual member states of the alliance.
So let's talk more about Russia. The president is also meeting with Vladimir Putin next week. How could that play into this?
Well, obviously allies are very uncertain as to where President Trump is going. One of the key things over the last several years of the administration and Congress has been to maintain solidarity with our European allies in maintaining sanctions against Russia for its aggression against Ukraine and other assertiveness, for its disruption and interference of elections in the United States and elsewhere around the world. Allied solidarity was the key thing. Putin's goal is to divide the alliance and to undermine efforts to enhance defense and deterrence. So the whole question of what attitude does Trump take? Does he take a forceful approach and say that NATO is resolute to defend but open to dialogue, which is the NATO strategy? Mm-hmm. Or does he seem what's the pattern that has been evident, at least in the run-up to the meetings, is that sort of very critical of allies and looking forward to this meeting with Putin as if, well, it's time to let bygones be bygones and just move ahead.
Right.
Allies don't want a confrontational relationship with Russia. They don't want a new Cold War, even though we're in a sort of a lukewarm one, at least at this point. They are not opposed to dialogue, but they want conditioned dialogue. They want dialogue in response to and progress with Russia if Russia takes certain behavior to walk back some of the things that it's done in the last several years.
Will North Korea and the negotiations that are going on there about denuclearization come up in next week, you think?
Yes, I think allies will be very interested. Certainly, he'll discuss that with Putin because Russia has been a party in past discussions with the North Koreans and has been a backer of North Korea. With the European allies, it will be probably more. It'll come up. Certainly, he'll probably want to say how he's moving to address this. The Europeans are, though, of course, still smarting and more concerned about the Iran nuclear deal and the U.S. decision to walk away from the Iran deal, and what that means going forward, and also the whole question of what. Sort of developing a consensus on the U.S. unilateral sanctions that have been imposed and so-called secondary sanctions, that remains a contentious issue. And I think some of that will be discussed, although that's a issue broader than NATO.
So let's talk a little bit more broadly about how the U.S.'s role maybe is shifting within alliances mm-hmm. like NATO. I mean, this is an organization that President Trump famously, you know, referred to as obsolete. How do they perceive us, our allies within this alliance at this point?
Well, they were very unsure. They were very uncertain. The summit meeting, the mini summit meeting last year in Brussels when President Trump made his maiden voyage, was very shaky. There was, as you recall, the president refused to reaffirm the key element of the NATO treaty, that is the Article 5 collective defense commitment that was unshakable, that many allies, particularly in Central and Eastern Europe, who feel vulnerable to Russia, wanted to hear reaffirmed. They had heard his statements about it being outdated and almost irrelevant anymore. On the other hand, this administration has issued both its national security strategy and more recently its defense strategy, which said that the alliance is invaluable and provides a unique capacity to help advance U.S. interests, as well as providing additional countries to share the burden of our common defense and promotion of our shared values. So there's a bit of a contradiction between the administration's official statements and rhetoric. But there's also a thing that many officials will say to you, ignore the tweets, ignore what President Trump is sometimes saying. Look at the fact that the United States has actually quadrupled the amount of spending that it's made in the last 2 years on preparing to help defend European allies. There's something called the European Deterrence Initiative. It was begun under the Obama administration. Trump has actually upped the funds for that and has not walked away from the commitment that the U.S. and other allies made to enhance our presence in the Baltic states and Poland to enhance deterrence of further Russian aggression.
All right. Stephen Flanagan is a senior political scientist with the RAND Corporation. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome, Lauren.